second here in Tanya. Tanya begins by quoting a brisa. We learned last week there's a question as to whether it's really a brisa, but he quotes a brisa in Nida, which talks of the birth of a child. And the brisa teaches that the child in the womb has an angel with him, and it's a wonderful life in the womb. The child is accessing his neshama, his soul, has the ability to see from one end of the world to the other. It's the best years of a person's life. And then when the womb opens up and the child comes out, so now it's a whole other world, a whole different world. So as the child is coming out, the angel makes the child swear that when you're going to go through life, you're going to work to be a tzaddik. You're not going to be a rasha. And even if the whole world tells you you are a tzaddik, in your eyes, you'll view yourself as if you are a rasha. That's what the Gemara says. Tanya deals with this Gemara, raises many questions about this Gemara, and after the questions, he'll have a series of introductions, things we need to know about human nature, about life, and then once he has set in place all of those introductions, the Tanya then gets to the answer. So again, Tanya Besov Perakimel de Nida, it was taught at the end of the third chapter of Nida. Mashbi and Oso, the baby as he comes into this world is made to take an oath. Ti tzadik v'al ti rasha, be a tzadik, don't be wicked. V'afilu kol olam kulo om l'cha tzadik asa, and even if the whole world tells you you are a tzadik, hayei be'inecha ki rasha, in your own eyes you should view yourself as if you are wicked. And now the Tanya asks questions. Tzarech l'havin. This is a very difficult statement. We have to understand this. Zatznat, we have a Mishnah. Ba'al fi rasha b'fnei atzmacha. Here's a problem. Gemara said in Nida that when we come out into this world, our souls received an oath or entered into an oath. And the oath was that we swore to be righteous. And we swore to be humble. Being humble means that we would view ourselves as if we are wicked. And even if people tell us that we're righteous, we're not going to listen to them, we're still going to think that we are not so great. That's what the Gemara says. That's the oath. That's the commitment that the soul made before it came into this world. And we explained last week from the Tzemach Tzedek that an oath really means an added boost of strength. In other words, there's an added boost of energy to these goals. To accomplish these goals, a person is inspired, a person's worked up, a person has energy to strive in this world to be a tzaddik and to strive in this world to be humble. And even if the whole world is telling him you're a big tzaddik, to say, no, I'm not a big tzaddik, I'm Kirush. Now the time he asks questions about this. First of all, Hatznan, Ba'al Ti Rasha B'Fnei Atzmacha. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Mishnah says, a person should never view himself as a rasha. Al fihi rasha b'fnei atzmacha. In your own eyes, don't view yourself as a wicked person. So you have a problem. The Braisa said in the Gemara Nida that when the child is coming into this world, the angel makes the child promise, I'm going to be righteous, but I'm going to be humble when I'm going to be righteous. And being humble means that I view myself as a wicked person. And even if the whole world tells me I'm righteous, No. I'm going to be sure that I'm not righteous, that I'm like a wicked person. What do you mean? I'm swearing to do something which the Mishnah said in Pirkei Avos I shouldn't do? The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, don't view yourself as a wicked person. Don't view yourself as a wicked person. You should feel good about yourself. Al fi rasha b'fnei atzmacha. Between yourself, amongst yourself, don't say, I'm a wicked man. But the angel made us all promise that we would say to ourselves we're wicked people. So you have to resolve that problem. Okay, maybe that's the beginning of an answer, that the angel says to view yourself as if you are wicked. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, don't view yourself as wicked. Maybe as if wicked, not as wicked. That could be. Maybe that's an answer. That's a problem. Tanya begins with the question. question is, the Braisa Nida, which is a Tanaitic statement, seems to conflict and contradict the Gemara, the famous statement of Pirkei Avos. And then the Tanya says further, it also makes sense. What the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos makes sense. It's logical that a person should not view himself as if he's wicked. In ye the gamin, furthermore, in ye a bane of Kirasha, ye levavo, yehiye atsev, lo yuchal avos Hashem simcha v'tuv lev. If a person is going to view himself as wicked, he's going to be depressed. He's going to be sad. If I have, no, it's good. The kids learning Torah, the sound of children, it's better. So if a person views himself as if he's wicked, so then a person's depressed. He's not upbeat. He's not confident. So put aside the fact that the Mishnah said, don't view yourself as wicked. Logic should dictate that I can't view myself as wicked. If I'm going to say to myself, Zev, you're a terrible person. You waste time from learning Torah. You get involved in Lashon Hara. You do this wrong. You do that wrong. I'll be depressed. And if I'm depressed, am I going to serve Hashem with a smile? Am I going to be happy? Am I going to serve Hashem the way I should? Service of Hashem requires simcha. That's a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara says, you can only achieve prophecy, not out of sadness, not out of depression, not out of lightheadedness, but only achieve prophecy mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. The Gemara says you can only achieve prayer mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, out of the joy of a mitzvah. Simcha is a key. You can't serve Hashem without simcha. To serve Hashem, a person has to be happy, be thankful, has to feel good, has to feel wonderful. Ashreinu, we're so lucky. Matov Chalkeinu, what a wonderful life we have. We get to serve Hashem. We get to do mitzvot. We get to love Jews. We get to learn Torah. We get to daven. That's the way to serve Hashem. Without happiness, you can't serve Hashem. So if a person's going to say, I'm wicked, I'm a wicked person, I'm doing this wrong, I'm doing that wrong, anybody says I'm good, but I know I'm wicked. Where's the happiness? Where's the simcha shel mitzvah? Where's the joy? And you can't serve God without joy. And even more, Chassidus is based on the Kabbalah of the Ari HaKadosh. Chassidus was to take the Kabbalah of Isaac Luria and to translate it into practice. Kabbalah of Isaac Luria taught the secrets of how Hashem made the world and how Hashem runs the world and what's going on in the heavenly realms, what the angels are like and what everything is, what the secrets of existence. Chassidus is to take those secrets and to translate them as models to understanding the psychology of a person, to understand the different abilities within a person's soul, to understand Torah, to understand Avodas Hashem, serving Hashem. The Ari HaKadosh said that without joy, he would have achieved nothing. Whatever was opened up to him was opened up to him in the merit of the fact that he was always extremely happy. And the Ari HaKadosh says an amazing thing, it's a frightening thing. The Psukim in Parshas Kisavo talk of terrible, terrible curses if the Jews are not going to listen to Hashem. Terrible misfortune, much worse than the misfortunes of Michal Kosai. Terrible misfortunes, the misfortunes of exile, suffering, according to the Ramban, the misfortunes of Parshas Kisavo are the misfortunes of the exile that we're currently experiencing. The Holocaust, the blood libel, the Inquisitions, the Crusades, the persecutions, the pogroms, the discrimination, 1900 years war of exile, it's all in Parshas Kisavo, says the Ari HaKadosh. Why did we get the punishment of Kisavo? Because we're not happy. Tachas ha-shelo avadata ha-shem alokecha b'sulcho t'wev ha-meruchko. Some people read that verse, you're getting these punishments because you didn't serve God. You had everything. You were happy. You had all good things. And you didn't serve God. But God gives you the punishment. But the Ari said differently. You did serve God. But you didn't serve God with a smile. You didn't serve God with happiness. You should have served God with happiness. If you don't serve God with happiness, there are disasters. Happiness is so important. could the Gemara say, the Tanya asked, how could the Gemara say that the angel made each of us promise we're always going to view ourselves as if we're wicked? If I view myself that I'm wicked, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be serving God with a smile. I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to be upset with myself. To share a thought from Rav Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern and Yama Chachma, Rav Morgenstern and the Maharal teaches that the root of happiness is to feel a sense of shlemus, of perfection, of completeness, of wholeness, of achievement. The person finishes a tractate of Gemara, learning for weeks, for months, makes a siyum. Then you have happiness, a sense of accomplishment, of shlemus, got something done. The person does a mitzvah, feels happiness, he helps somebody, there's a sense of yeshus, of existence. He deserves existence because of his mitzvot. That creates happiness. But if I'm a Rasha, if I'm viewing myself, I'm a Rasha, I didn't do anything, I'm a nobody, I haven't accomplished anything, I'm a sinner who's terrible, where's the happiness going to come from? Where's the happiness? Happiness comes from the opposite of those feelings. Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter, in his work, Leket Amarim, writes that when he counsels students who are feeling sad and aren't feeling happy, he tells them to take on, to do a small thing, learn every day one of the readings of the Parsha. So Sunday, do the Rishon, the first reading of the Parsha, and Monday, the second, and Tuesday, the third. And that way, a person feels a sense of accomplishment and he'll be happy. We learn a Mishnah a day. What's he teaching? He's saying, because when you feel complete, when you feel perfected, when you feel whole, when you feel achievement, there's happiness. But if I'm a wicked man, I'm all wicked, where's the achievement? Where's the happiness? How can a person serve Hashem without happiness? So the Tanya so far has two questions. Number one, the Gemara says, see yourself as evil. That's against the Mishnah. Mishnah says, don't be evil in your own eyes. Number two, doesn't make sense. See myself as evil for service of Hashem. Obviously the point is to be humble, to serve Hashem. It's going to impede my service of Hashem. Service of Hashem requires happiness, to be upbeat, to feel good about oneself, to feel a sense of achievement. So if I'm going to see myself as evil, how am I going to serve Hashem? The second question of the time. And the third question. The imlo yera levavo klal, and it makes another point. Not a question yet. Im lo yera levavo klal mizeh, yachalavo lidei kalos chas v'shalom. Now, on the other hand, if a person is never going to be doubtful about oneself, then he's asking the following question. And then you might say, okay, I should see myself as if I'm evil, but I shouldn't get depressed about that. I should go through life telling myself, Zev, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you're a sinner, you're evil. But don't get depressed. Still be happy. The Tanya says, well, that's not going to do much. If that's not going to get me depressed, that means I don't take religion seriously. That means I'm okay with being a big sinner. I'm telling myself I'm a big sinner, I'm doing this wrong, I'm doing that wrong. But I'm still happy. I'm still go-lucky. That's not a good thing. That can't possibly be what's meant, because that would lead me to kalos, to lightheadedness, to not taking things seriously. So what's going on here? Here's the problem. What is the point of this oath? That's the question. The oath is, I should view myself as if I'm wicked. How am I going to do that and not conflict with the Mishnah? How am I going to do that and still be happy? And just to be happy and do that, well, maybe that would lead me to not taking religion seriously. So how do I get everything done? To take religion seriously, to always be happy, to feel a sense of accomplishment, to fulfill the mission of Pirkei Avos, not to be wicked in my own eyes, but at the same time fulfill the braisa of Nida, that I should always view myself as if I am wicked. How do we put it all together? That's the Tanya's question. Acha Inyan. So now the Tanya begins the basic answer. The concept is, Kinei Matzina B'Gemara Chamisha Chalukos. Gemara talks of five levels. Tzadik v'tovlo, Tzadik v'ralo, Rasha v'tovlo, Rasha v'ralo, u'beinoni. The righteous who has good, the righteous who has wicked, who has evil, the wicked who has good, the wicked who has evil, and the one in the middle. Pirsha the Gemara Tzadik for Tovu Tzadik Gamur Tzadik for Ralo Tzadik Sheinu Gamur. Overriding him, the Pashas Mishpatim Pirish Tzadik for Ralo Sharasha Bo Kafufuto. The Tanya gives the following answer. So if you look into the Gemara, you'll find that there are five types of people. Gemara talks of Tzadik for Tovlo and Tzadik for Ralo. There can be a righteous person, the Tovlo, and he has good. Another righteous person, Viralo, he has bad. I think we're reading of the Gemara. But the Gemara is talking about a righteous person who suffers and a righteous person who doesn't suffer. There's some righteous people who have a very easy life. Have health, happiness, parnasa, everything works out for them. And there are righteous people, really good people, tzaddik, righteous people. But it's so hard. Everything is so hard. Their wives might be causing them a lot of trouble. They don't have any parnasa, don't have any livelihood, don't have any health. Difficult people. Everything's hard. Every step is hard. So that's the simple way of reading the Gemara. Gemara says, why are some tzaddikim tzaddik for Tovlo? He has a good life. Other tzaddikim tzaddik for Ralo, they have a difficult life. And the Gemara answers, one is a tzaddik gomor, one's a tzaddik sheino gomor. One's a tzaddik, complete tzaddik. One is not a complete tzaddik. The complete tzaddik, he's perfect, he has a good life too. The tzaddik who's not perfect, who has sins, so to wipe away his sins, he has a difficult life in this world, so then in the next world, he'll have all good. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. Tanya is saying that there's another way of understanding this whole Gemara. And this comes from the Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar is the basic book of Kabbalah. It is the lessons of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And there are different sections of the Zohar. The Zohar is a collection of different parts. One part is called Raya Mehimna. Raya Mehimna means faithful shepherd. And this is ideas that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said were revealed from the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. The soul of Moshe Rabbeinu came into the Beis Medrash and started to reveal secrets. So in Raya Mehimna, the part of the Zohar and Parshas Mishpatim, the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu revealed something else. Tzaddik for Tovlo doesn't mean a tzaddik who has a good life in the physical way. Tzaddik for Ralo doesn't mean a tzaddik who has a difficult life in the physical way. What it means is as follows. There are five different levels. There's one level of a tzaddik who only has good within himself. In other words, we all have been educated that there's a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara. We're born with a good urge, an urge to do good, and an urge to do bad. We have a Yetzer Tov, let's say the alarm rings at 7 o'clock in the morning, Shir is at 7:45, the Yetzer Tov is get up, get ready, wash up, wash your hands, and learn a little bit, get ready for learning and for davening. Yetzer Hara says, go back to sleep, and at 7:45 you'll get up. And we all know that the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara is a struggle between them. Am I going to listen to the Yetzer Tov? Am I going to listen to the Yetzer Hara? A man is a battlefield, as Tanya says. It's a constant struggle, there's a wrestling match. Who's going to win, the Yetzer Tov or the Yetzer Hara? Zohar says, tzaddik the Tov will mean a tzaddik, all he has is Tov. He doesn't have a Yetzer Hara. He doesn't have a Yetzer Hara. He doesn't have an urge for bad. The alarm rings at 7 o'clock in the morning, he jumps right out. He doesn't have a thought, maybe I should sleep more. 7 o'clock, boom, I'm going. He's right up. He's running to learn. He's running to daven. Nothing. He doesn't have any other thoughts. Tzaddik v'tov lo. Good is his. All he has is good. There's no evil urge in him. Tzaddik v'ra lo. A tzaddik who has bad, that means a tzaddik, he does all the good things. He's a tzaddik. But he has an evil urge. He has an evil urge. He never listens to it. The alarm went off at 7 o'clock. He jumped up. But he heard two voices. One voice said, jump up. The other voice said, sleep. He jumped up. There's no question. He's a tzaddik. He jumped up. but he had at least a voice. The Tzadik V'Tovlo, he did not even have a voice telling him sleep more. No. He only has one voice inside of him. He only has the voice of the good urge. He doesn't have an evil urge in him. The evil urge can't say anything. It doesn't exist in him. He only has a good urge. The Tzadik V'Ralo, he's a Tzadik. He never listens to the evil urge, but he has an evil urge. Then you have Rasha V'Ralo. A wicked person who has bad. A wicked person who has bad, that refers to a wicked person who is the opposite of the Tzadik V'Tovlo. He doesn't have a Yetzer Tov. He doesn't have an urge for good. He only has an urge for bad. It's 7 o'clock, the alarm goes off. All he hears is sleep late. He doesn't hear anything else. He just hears sleep more. There's no voice in his mind that says, get up. What? Get up. Serve Hashem? Not possible. He never wants to serve Hashem. He wants to serve himself. He's arrogant. He's only about himself. He only has an evil urge. Paro only had an evil urge. Paro didn't have a good urge. When Hashem said, send the Jews, let them go, Paro says, no. He didn't even have a foot to say yes. Hashem took away his ability to say yes. Hashem made his heart hard. My teacher, Rabbi Wolfson, said he thinks that Adolf Hitler was a Russian barrage. Adolf Hitler didn't have a good piece to him. No good urge and bad urge. It was just a bad urge. He was evil incarnate. I would say Joseph Stalin probably also. Joseph Stalin was an evil incarnate. Wicked, wicked, wicked man. Nothing good about him. All evil. Evil through and through. There are tzaddikim in Tovlem. There are tzaddikim that are all good, all holy. David HaMelech said, Libi chalal v'kirbi, have an empty part of my heart. In other words, he had gotten rid of the evil urge. He's all good. And then there are people that are all wicked, completely wicked. Joseph Stalin, Mao Tse-tung, Pol Pot in Cambodia, Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shemo. They're all evil. There's nothing good about them at all. All evil. They have no good urge. They were Yetzer Hara through and through. Evil urge through and through. Then you have a Rasha V'Tovlo. Rasha V'Tovlo means he's a wicked person, but he has two urges. He has a desire for good and he has a desire for bad. He's a Rasha. He listens to the evil urge. So now where does that fit in with the Bainim? The middle person. The person in the middle.
Is the Rasha always getting knocked up at 7 o'clock?
It's right here. The Tanya explains as follows. This is his novel point. Tanya's novel point is that this book is the book about being, about people in the middle. Not the book for tzaddikim, not the book for Rishayim, really. It's the book. I mean, it is for Rishayim, but not for Rasha V'Ralo, the Rasha V'Tovlo. Most of all, the book for the Bainim. Gemara talks about somebody who's in the middle. Tanya will say, what does that mean to be in the middle? Does it mean that you half of the things you do are mitzvot, half of the things you do are averos? That doesn't make sense to be considered in the middle. We'll see why. Tanya's going to explain that the real definition of Bainim is that he only does mitzvah. He only does good deeds. But he has two voices in him that are equally strong. The Rasha V'Ralo, he only has one voice to do sin. The Rasha V'Tovlo has two voices. One voice says do sins, which is stronger. Another voice, which is weaker, says do mitzvah. Usually he does sins. Sometimes he does mitzvot. That's the Rasha V'Ralo. A Beinoni, person in the middle, he has equal voices. One voice says do mitzvot, one voice says do averos, and they are equal. But he only does mitzvot. He only does good deeds. Never listens to the voice of sin. Tzadik V'Tovlo is even more than that. Tzadik V'Tovlo only does good deeds, only does mitzvot. And but he has two voices, but the voice for good is much, much stronger than the voice for bad. That's Tzadik V'Ralo. Tzadik V'Tovlo is even more than that. Tzadik V'Tovlo only does good, only wants to do good, only has one voice inside of him, only the voice of doing good. There's nothing else. So there are five types of people in the world. There's the Russia Viralo, the Hitlers and the Stalins and the Tsutungs. They only want to do bad. They only have an evil urge. There are most people in the world. Most people in the world are Russia, the Tovla. We do sin. Most of the time we are attracted to doing sin. But sometimes we do mitzvot. But we have a Yetzer Tov. We have two voices inside of us. The stronger voice is the voice for sin, and we need to fight that voice to listen to the voice of mitzvot. And we can reach a high level. We can reach the level of Beinoni. The level of Beinoni means we can get to the level where we will only do mitzvot. We can get to that level where we will only do mitzvot. We can get to the level that every choice we have will listen to the Yetzer Tov. Every time the alarm goes off, we're going to wake up. We're going to hear both voices, but we're going to get up. We're going to start. We're going to do the mitzvot. We can get to that level. But it will be a lifelong battle. Even though we're at that level, we're always going to be hearing two voices. We can't go beyond Beinoni.
So what's the difference between Beinoni and the...
Special people, though, who are tzaddik v'tovlo, it's not two equal voices. The evil urge is there, but he can hardly say anything. They only do mitzvot. So the Beinoni really only does mitzvot. Tzaddik v'tovlo certainly only does mitzvah. But he has within him a little evil urge. He just doesn't listen to it ever. And it's very small. And then there are those even higher than that. They don't even have an evil urge at all. They are tzaddik v'tovlo. They are the righteous and all good. All good in the level of righteousness. There's no desire for evil at all. Just complete yetzer tov. These are the five levels of people. Yeah, now question.
Did we say that the Russia, the Tovla, we said sometimes we'll get up for the, we'll do the mitzvah in the end?
Okay. Correct.
Okay. So the same, by the same token, it means that the tzaddik, the ralo, sometimes will do the avera.
No, he won't.
He won't.
Yeah, we'll see why that's not the case. That's a good question.
It would seem to me that the tzaddik v'ralo is in a higher madrega. Life is a constant struggle. The tzaddik v'tovlo has no struggle.
Right.
The second madrega is greater because he overcomes the eternal.
Right. So this is a very important point that the Tanya is teaching. A tremendous encouragement for us. According to the Tanya, the Beinoni always has a Yetzirah. His whole life, he lives life however long a person lives, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. But the whole life, his whole life, he had an equal voice, a Yetzirah Tov and a Yetzirah. The Yetzirah was strong, and the Yetzirah said, do this sin and do that sin. And the way the Yetzirah speaks, the whole time. But he never listened to him. In a certain way, the Beinoni might be more beloved to Hashem than the Tzaddik V'Tovlo. The Tzaddik V'Tovlo doesn't have the Yetzirah anymore, so there's no struggle. The Beinoni, though, he's struggling and he's always winning, but every day is another struggle, every day is another battle. Every day another battle. Every day he's giving Hashem another piece of nachas. The purpose of life is to give Hashem joy, to give Hashem nachas. Lasas nachas ruach labore, to give Hashem enjoyment from the service of his children. The Beinoni, he gives Hashem enjoyment because he's always struggling. The tzaddik v'tovlo, in a certain way, he's not struggling. So in a certain way, the Beinoni is much better than the tzaddik v'tovlo. That's true. And that should be a big comfort. Let's say a person says, you know, I struggle. I have an evil urge and I fall. It's a good thing. Because now, with my struggle, there's more effort. And to some degree, Hashem rewards the effort most of all. That gives Hashem the most joy. My teacher of Wolfson, he said a parable from the Sidur Shel Shabbos, the Be'er Mayim Chayim. It's a very beautiful parable to express this point that effort sometimes is really the most precious thing. Be'er Mayim Chayim said, imagine, he was the Rav of Chernovitz, the Chaim of Chernovitz. So then imagine there's a king who wants everyone to appreciate how much he rules, how many colonies he has, how many kingdoms he controls. So he said, I want all the subjects of my empire, maybe it's the King of England, I want all the subjects of my empire to bring something unique from their place, and we're going to have a big collection in my palace. So when a person walks into the palace, he'll see ivory from Africa, and he'll see sapphire from Thailand, and he'll see diamonds from Zimbabwe, and he'll see gold from Australia. And he'll say, how does he have all these things? It must be this king. He has people all over. He rules in Australia, he rules in Africa, he rules in Thailand, so he has things from all of these places. And he said, you know what, I want things that I can put into a crown. So that way everyone who sees me sees the crown, sees right away the gold from Africa and the jasper from Peru and the sapphire from Thailand and the ivory from Africa. And right away they see the extent of my rule. There's a peasant. I'm going to give the king something special. I'm going to show that the king rules even on the ocean floor. So he gets into a boat, and he dives into the ocean to try to find a clam to open it and give the king a pearl. It's very hard. He dives into the ocean, and it's cold, and he doesn't have enough oxygen in his oxygen tank. So he comes back up, and he gets another tank, and he goes back down deep, and there are sharks coming. He's trying to swim away from the sharks, and finally he gets all the way down to the ocean floor, and he grabs a bunch of dirt and clams, and he comes up, and he's exhausted, and he quickly paddles away from the sharks, just gets back into his boat, opens up the clam, and it's a small pearl. Not the biggest pearl. It's a little pearl, a $25 pearl. You can go down the block and get it. He's too exhausted to go down again. He goes to the king and says, this is what I brought to the king. I brought the king a pearl to show that the king rules even the ocean floor. The king said, this is so precious. So much effort. I know how hard it was for you to get to the ocean floor to get this pearl. This is going to be the centerpiece of my crown. This is the middle of the crown. So that's the human being. The human being comes into this world. We come to this world to show that Hashem is king of this world. To show the degree of his rule. And it's like trying to dive into the ocean floor. The Eight Sahara is coming from inside, from outside, with fights, with disputes, with all sorts of challenges. It's so hard. And we're trying to escape the sharks that are after us. And at the end, we might come up and we say to Hashem, what did I get? I was a rush of the Tovlo at the end of the day. I did sin. All I have is a couple of little mitzvahs, a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there, some small pearls. But Hashem might say, these came from such effort. This is the centerpiece of the crown. This came with so much effort and so much trying and so much work. This is the most precious. This gives me the most joy. This shows that even when it's hard, you're trying to serve me, that I'm a ruler down on the ocean floor too. The ocean floor is people who are loyal to me. This effort is rewarded. So that's true. The role of a Beinoni is a very special role. It's a very great role. Every mitzvah that the Beinoni does, because it comes through effort, in a certain way, is more precious than the mitzvahs of the Tzaddik V'Tovlo, which don't come through effort. And the mitzvahs of a Rasha V'Tovlo, even though he's a Rasha, he's wicked, he does Averos. But in a certain way, these mitzvahs are so precious because they come with such effort, and there was such an effort invested, and that effort is so, so meaningful. If Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern points out here, there's really a tremendous depth to what the Tanya is teaching. Tanya talks about five types of people.
Is Rav Morgenstern's
paper
on the Tanya?
This book of Rav Morgenstern is called Yama Chachma. It's a collection of different classes that he gave, a lot of different things, and he has a big section here on the first 24 chapters of Tanya. Rav Morgenstern says really amazing, amazing things. He's amazing. See, the Tanya talks here of five types of people in the world. Tzaddik v'tov lo, a tzaddik who has no urge for evil, just an urge to do good. Tzaddik v'ra lo, a tzaddik, but there is a little bit of urge of evil. It's really not manifest. It's sort of like a dormant, potential trace element.
Because he only does good in the end.
Because he only does good, and the majority of his urges are just good. Then you have a Beinoni, someone in the middle, who has an urge for good and an equal urge for evil. Then you have Rasha V'Tovlo, a wicked person, does Averos, but he still has a Yetzer Tov that comes back and says, try to do mitzvot, he does some mitzvot too. And finally you have Rasha V'Ralo, a person who's wicked, and he's completely wicked. Stalin.
Beinoni does or does not do
Avera? Beinoni
never
does Avera.
Really? Okay.
Never does. And the Rosh Hashanah is completely wicked. So Rabbi Morgenstern points out there's an amazing thing that the Kabbalah teaches that there are five parts to the soul. This is really found already in the Gemara. Gemara says in the Seches Brachos that David HaMelech, King David, Brachos, I think it's Daf Yud, Mar says that King David said five times, Baruch Nafshi, my soul will bless you, God. And the Gemara says it's because there are five elements to the soul. Medjer says, in Gracious, on the verse that God blew into man a soul of life, Yipach Ba'afav, Nishmas Chayim, Vayihi Adam L'Nefesh Chaya. The Medjer says that there are five names of the soul. The Kabbalah teaches that there are five levels of the soul. Says Rabbi Morgenstern, if the Tanya says there are five types of people, and the Kabbalah teaches there are five levels of the soul, that means that the types of people correspond to the parts of the soul. So in each one of us, there is a part of us that's tzaddik v'tova. And there's a part of me that's tzaddik v'ralo. There's a part of me that's beinoni. There's a part of me that's rasha v'tovlo. There's a part of me that's rasha v'ralo. What does the Tanya teach? Tanya is of the opinion, in different ways of service Hashem, but the Tanya is of the opinion that the best way to serve Hashem is to crown the mind over the heart and the action. Tanya is going to explain that there are different parts of the soul. And these parts of the soul are felt in different experiences of the person. The lowest part of the soul is called nefesh. Nefesh is felt in actions. So for example, a person who is very much of this world, he likes to eat, he's very practically minded, he's good with his hands, he builds, he's a this worldly person. He has a soul that has a strong nefesh quality to it. There are other people, very emotional people, very emotional. They daven beautifully. They read a work of poetry and they start crying. They might be great storytellers. They might have a certain drama to their personality. Boy, when they hear the pain of somebody else, they melt in tears. That is a very strong ruach. Ruach is another part of the soul. It's in the heart. It impacts emotions. Neshama is a part of the soul that's in the mind. And that's experience through thought, understanding something, comprehending something, deep understandings, intellectual, thoughtful, people with very agile minds. These are people of neshama. And there are even higher levels of soul. The level of chaya, and there's the level of yechida. So the highest level of soul, yechida, is like the tzaddik v'tovlo. This part of the soul is all holiness. It doesn't even have a trace of the Yetzer Hara, the evil urge. The level of soul of Chaya is like the level of Tzadik Viralo. He's all holiness, but he has a little dormant trace of evil urge. Level of soul of Neshama, the mind, this is the level of soul that corresponds to the Beinoni. The Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, but only does good deeds. The level of soul of Ruach, of emotions, that corresponds to Rasha V'Tovlo. The level of soul of Nefesh corresponds to Rasha V'Ralo. What's the Tanya teaching? Tanya's teaching the highest level, or the level that everyone can reach, the level of Beinoni, if that parallels Neshama, that means that our job in this world is to try to connect to our Neshama. And this is the approach of the Tanya. Tanya believes that the more a person utilizes his mind, the more a person asserts the mastery of the mind over the emotions and the actions, the more a person will be close to Hashem. Tanya was a believer. The way to guide a person to conquer his lower urges is to be very thoughtful, very deliberate, have the mind rule over every part of the person. When the mind rules over the person, then a person will serve Hashem. So that's why the Beinoni, which is the realistic ideal for all of us, corresponds to Neshama, because Neshama is the ideal for all of us, and Neshama is Machshava, Neshama is thought, because the approach of the Tanya is that through thought, a person should rule over the rest of the body, and in that way serve Hashem. That way rise to get closer to Hashem. Again, we're going to, God willing, go into all of these thoughts in much deeper ways. But just as a beginning, Tanya again says that there are five levels. Tzadik the Tovlo, the righteous who's all good. Tzadik the Ralo, the righteous who has a little trace of bad. Beinoni, the middle. Rasha the Tovlo, the wicked person who still has good and does mitzvot. And finally, Rasha V'Ralo, the wicked person who is all bad. This also corresponds to the five universes. And we'll see later that Tanya is going to talk about the fact that there are five spiritual universes. And to go even deeper, Rabbi Morgenstern teaches that the real source of this is from the teachings of the Ari HaKadosh. The Ari HaKadosh teaches that in the there are really five parts to the name of Hashem, Yud Hei Vav Hei. There is the crown on top of the Yud, which is the beginning of the Yud. It's called the Kutzo Shel Yud. Then there is the Yud itself, the Hei, the Vav, and the Hei. So you have five parts. So these five parts, the crown on top of the Yud, the Hei, the Vav, and the Hei, also correspond to these five levels. Tzadik V'Tovlo is like the crown on top of the Yud, the highest of levels. Tzadik V'Ralo is like the Yud, again, the highest levels. The Hey is already the level of the Beinoni. The Vav corresponds to Rasha V'Ralo. I'm sorry, Rasha V'Tovlo. Final Hey corresponds to Rasha Barat. Okay, God willing, we'll go into all of these things in much greater depth, and we should all merit to win in this big battle. We're here in this world to battle the Yetzer Hara. May we merit to have the strength to defeat.
Amen.